Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Thrilled that you're joining me on this Friday as we conclude the first week of a very special series on restoration. Derek Prince has been teaching us about restoration. We started with the theme of Israel and restoration, and then just recently we sort of merged into the theme of restoring the church. And Derek taught us that there are four main areas of deficiency in the church today, that we lack all the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit we ought to have, that we need the main ministries that are given to build the body of Christ, that we need proper spiritual government or authority, and we need the effective functioning unity of believers. This is such an important theme, and it helps us as individual believers to sort of be located or to locate ourselves on the map of what God is doing, the roadmap of where God is taking us. Now, this is critically important, and today he's going to be talking specifically about building the body and proper spiritual government. Boy, have we had excesses and extremes when it comes to proper authority and proper government in the body of Christ. So grab something to take notes with, get your Bible, pull together some friends, and let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us on this critical theme of restoration and what the body of Christ needs to be the true church today.
Yesterday I dealt with the first essential in the process of restoration, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Today I'm going to speak about the second essential, the ministries given by Christ to build his body, the church. By way of introduction to this topic, I'm going to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, that's Christ, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Then in verse 11, Paul specifies the gifts that Christ gave after his ascension to his church. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. There are the five ministry gifts of the ascended Christ: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then Paul tells us the purpose for which they are given: for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In just a little while, I'll analyze those purposes for which the ministry gifts are given. But let's look at the alternative, I believe the only alternative, which is stated by Paul in the next verse. As a result, that says, as a result of these ministries, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. I believe that either the church must receive the benefit of these ministry gifts, or if it does not, God's people will remain just little children, never spiritually developed, carried about by every wind of doctrine, and a prey continually to deceit and trickery. I don't believe there are any others but those two alternatives. Then Paul goes back to the positive, the real purpose of God. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In this passage, Paul compares the church to two familiar things, a building and a body, and he uses both as he speaks about the purposes of the ministry gifts. The purposes of these gifts are to complete the building and mature the body Christ has constituted in his church. And the five essential ministries are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They have four main functions as defined here by Paul. The first, to equip believers to do their work. The second, to build up the body. The third, to bring us all into unity. The fourth, to produce maturity and completeness. I'm going to state those four functions again. They're so important. To equip believers for their work, to build up the body, to bring us all into unity, to produce maturity and completeness. Now, out of these five ministries, the first two, the primary ones, are those of apostles and prophets. And they have two main specific responsibilities: to provide a foundation for a church and to be the channel of revelation to the church. These functions are stated by Paul elsewhere in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, he says that we, as believers, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So with Christ as the chief cornerstone, churches are built with apostles and prophets as their foundation. And then in the matter of revelation, in Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, Paul says, he speaks about the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So the mystery of God's ongoing plan for the church is revealed through apostles and prophets. God has a specific word, a specific direction for his people in each situation and in each stage of his purpose. So Christ has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, five main ministries to whom is committed the responsibility of maturing his body and building his church. And yet, if we look at the contemporary church as we know it, in most circumstances, virtually speaking, there are only three of those ministries which are ever recognized as actually functioning: evangelists, pastors, and teachers. To take a very down-to-earth example, the church in such a situation is like a five-cylinder car running on only three cylinders. It's doubtful if it could move. Interestingly enough, in Germany, a five-cylinder car has recently been invented, which is very economical on gas. Maybe that's why, in a certain sense, the Lord had his vehicle a five-cylinder car. But at any rate, one thing is sure, it will not function properly on three cylinders.
You know, Derek said something critically important, and that is that the church has tended throughout its history to function on the strength of three of the five gifts: the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. But without the apostle and the prophet fulfilling their function, the church is like a five-cylinder car functioning on only three cylinders. What a powerful truth. May the Lord restore in our time the ministry of the apostle and the prophet. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that, as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thankful that you're here with me on this Friday as we're finishing the first week of a series on restoration. And today especially, Derek is talking about some critical themes for the church today, especially spiritual government. What is government? Is there a government in the church? Is there a government in the kingdom of God? What is this? Let's listen now as Derek brings fine biblical truth to bear on the subject of proper spiritual government.
I spoke about the restoration of the five main ministries given by Christ for the building of his body, the church. I dealt particularly with the need for the two primary ministries, apostles and prophets. And I pointed out that without these, the church is like a five-cylinder car functioning only on three cylinders. Today I'm going to speak about something that flows very naturally, something which is, I am afraid to say, somewhat controversial. But I'm going to speak about it anyhow. I'm going to speak about the restoration of proper spiritual government or authority within the church. The New Testament message is the gospel, but it's a specific gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Because of our democratic surroundings in the United States and because of recent history, the word king has lost a lot of its proper meaning for us. But when the Bible speaks about kingdom, it speaks about government. So the gospel of the kingdom of God is the gospel of the government of God. Gospel itself, of course, means good news. So the message of the New Testament is the good news of God's government. It's the good news that if we meet God's conditions, we can come under his government. Therefore, it's a logical consequence. If we respond as God requires to the gospel, it will necessarily bring us under God's government. To claim to have obeyed the gospel, but not to be under the government of God, is actually a contradiction in terms. There is a direct connection in Scripture and in life between government and peace. In Isaiah 9:7, speaking prophetically of the Messiah, Jesus, the prophet says, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." Notice, government comes first, then peace. Without government, there can be no peace. The good news of the gospel is that through God's government, we can come back into peace. Therefore, we need to understand very simply the basic principles of God's government. I think the most important one can be summed up in one simple statement: God governs by delegated authority. God does not govern everything in the universe directly and in person. When God wants something done, he does not step down from his throne in heaven, point his finger at the person of the situation and say, "Do this or do that." God has got a much more practical way of governing. He has appointed under him those to whom he has delegated a measure of his authority, and he governs through them. In Romans chapter 13, Paul states that all existing authorities are ordained by God, and that if we resist the authority God has ordained, we are, in effect, resisting God. Now, I'm simple-minded enough to believe that that applies to the highway patrolman and the speed limit. I believe that a person who deliberately flouts the speed limits or disobeys the patrolman is actually flouting the authority of God. I believe the Scripture makes that clear. However, I don't want to speak just now about secular authority, but I want to speak about spiritual authority in the church. This principle of delegated authority applies also within the church. The basis for it is stated in Ephesians 1:22, where we are told God has given Christ as head over all things to the church. Christ is the supreme delegated authority of God over the church. Now, authority flows downward from the head into the body. This is another related principle: authority always flows downwards. Let me say, I hope without offending you, the church never was and never will be a democracy. It's a theocracy. It's governed by God through Christ and in turn by those whom Christ appoints and to whom he delegates a measure of his authority. I explained yesterday that as the first step in governing his body, Christ gave five main ministries to build that body: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Therefore, in the ongoing chain of responsibility, these ministers are expected by God and required by Him either to govern the body themselves or to raise up others to do it. But always there is a continuing downward flow of authority from God through Christ, through the ministries whom He has given, to those who are in turn delegated by those ministries. Now, our attitude towards the ministries whom Christ has set in the body is a matter of tremendous personal importance for us. This brings a third principle, that our attitude to delegated authority is our attitude to the one who delegated that authority. We cannot have two distinct attitudes. In John 13, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." There you see the response to authority going upward from the believer to Jesus, from Jesus to the Father. Authority flows downward, but our response to it goes upward. And our attitude towards God's appointed leaders is, in reality, our attitude toward God Himself.
Boy, Derek said something in that last portion that I'm not even sure that I like. He said, authority flows downward, but our response to it goes upward. And our attitude towards God's appointed leaders is, in reality, our attitude towards God Himself. Listen, Derek's going to wrap up this powerful teaching as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that, as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and Derek Prince today is teaching us in this whole theme of restoration about restoring proper biblical government. I want to challenge you just in the next few moments. If you have really had resentment and bitterness towards God's leaders, towards leaders who may have perhaps mistreated you in the church, let's let this next portion be a time of healing as Derek teaches us about proper spiritual government.
Our attitude toward God's appointed leaders is, in reality, our attitude toward God Himself. The problem of authority in the church today is an unresolved problem. I'd like to look back to the point, I believe, in church history where the problem really broke out. I want to go back to the Reformation. Now, much good was achieved by the Reformation. Many wonderful truths were recovered by it. Many wonderful men of God were produced by it. Nevertheless, I believe that the Reformation, in a sense, has perpetuated two opposite errors. In a certain sense, the river of God's people divided at the Reformation, and there was error in each side of the division. Let's look at the errors for a moment. Of course, what I'm saying is highly simplistic. Nevertheless, I believe it contains the essence of vital truth. First, we look at the Catholic side of the division. I believe the error there was excessive authoritarianism and excessive emphasis on a corporate church, with the result that the individual tends to lose his personal relationship with God and simply rely on a general relationship which has no personal reality for him. Also, the individual tends to lose his sense of personal responsibility and initiative. Now let's look at the opposite error, the Protestant error. I would define that as excessive individualism. The individual becomes a law to himself. In reality, he's a religious rebel without any real responsibility to God-given leaders or to his fellow believers. The scriptural picture of each believer as a member of one body really does not apply in a practical way to such a believer. Now, the traditional course of religious controversy is this, that each group focuses on the errors of the other and ignores its own. And that, I believe, has been the case in the history of controversy that stems from the Reformation. The Protestants have pointed out the errors of the Catholics have pointed out the errors of the Protestants. Actually, there are plenty of errors to point out on both sides. But just pointing out other people's errors isn't going to help us much. I like the suggestion of my friend Francis McNutt, Catholic priest, who suggested that we should reverse our usual procedure, each point out the good points of the other, and acknowledge our own bad points. I really believe that would make for tremendous progress. Let me say at this point that if I'm anything, I'm not a Catholic. I no longer like the label Protestant. I don't want to be continually protesting. I was brought up a member of the Anglican Church in Britain, though until the age of 25, I never came to know God in a personal way. My whole background and associations have been essentially Protestant. I never expect to become a Roman Catholic, but I really am not happy any longer to be called a Protestant. I believe each group needs to repent, not to point out the errors of the opposite group. For those of us who are of Protestant background, I believe this means that we need to renounce unscriptural individualism, to commit ourselves to the body of Christ, and to come under proper scriptural authority within the church. Let me read to you from Hebrews 13, verse 17, and I'd like you to check your personal position by this verse. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls." Notice it's assumed in the New Testament that every believer will know who his leaders are and whom he's expected to obey. Let me therefore ask you just a few questions. Do you have recognized leaders? Do they know you? Do you know them? And if you do, do you obey them and submit to them? If your answer to those questions is no, then let me tell you gently but firmly, you are a religious rebel, and you need to understand the whole purpose of authority in the church.
You know, I want to talk for just a few moments about this whole issue of spiritual authority, because we have had such damage done to the body of Christ in this area, and nobody would have been more open or transparent about that than Derek Prince. As many of you may know, Derek was somewhat involved in the discipleship movement of many decades ago, and the memory of that continues to haunt major portions of the body of Christ and almost leads people to believe that there shouldn't be any government, shouldn't be any authority, that there shouldn't be spiritual authorities in our lives. But that would be a tragic extreme and overreaction to a damaging moment in recent church history. You know, the fact of the matter is that God does give people authority for our lives, but the question we have to ask is why? The Bible says that He gives that authority to them for building us up and not for tearing them down. I'm actually quoting from 2 Corinthians 13, along about verse 10, where Paul says he was given an authority by the Lord for building up and not for tearing down. That's what true godly spiritual authority does. Well, listen, that's all the time we have. For everybody at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Thank you for joining us for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order your copy of Derek's book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, give us a call, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This insightful book is only $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.